What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kevin Deers here. We're talking here from my apartment. I've been doing a ton of podcasts today and talking to a lot of people that I know within metal and a lot of people I don't even know within metal and just trying to honestly stay sane, stay busy, and stay inside, stay home, stay healthy, stay connected, all that stuff. Right now, I'm talking to a dude all the way in Florida. I believe it is almost midnight there right now, and it's JJ Polacek. He is a vocalist of many bands. First off, how are you doing, man? How are you holding up there in Florida, and how are you staying sane?
Well, personally, I have like a lot of work experience in both housekeeping and like kitchen jobs. So yeah. Washing my hands is already a habit. So I haven't really had an issue with this. Like I've been fine, you know, I'm feeling okay. And I'm, you know, day to day, I'm, you know, keeping the stakes as low as possible. And I'm getting through it, feeling okay. So
good.
You know, I would say I'm stable right now. That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Is your day job aside from playing in a metal band? Have you been deemed essential? Do you work in a restaurant now? And are you guys doing takeout stuff?
No, actually, I was working with the YMCA after school program.
Okay.
For elementary school, where it was basically like structured daycare, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hear any meows in the background, that's my new kitten Morpheus.
So, aww.
You know, pay no mind or pay lots of mind, you know, if
yeah.
it's good to you. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I was doing, but then this obviously happened, and school is kind of completely in limbo, so I'm desperately searching for, you know, whatever. I'm in the same boat as a lot of people,
yeah.
is what I'll say. But still doing a lot of musical work, actually, in the midst of this, because a lot of the people I'm collaborating with have much more free time.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. I got to let him out.
No, no problem.
He's going to whine.
Let Morpheus out, dude.
Go ahead. Anyway.
Nice.
There's a lot of things currently being worked on behind the scenes, you know,
yeah.
where I generally like to keep things until they're ready to show off, you know. I don't like to make too many promises, but
in the last few years you've done a lot of work on various metal bands. Obviously, the first time I met you was for a band called Seven Eyes, kind of a local Seattle
mm-hmm.
band, and you did collaboration
yes.
from the East Coast, and you even lived here in Seattle for a little while.
I did.
Is Seven Horns, Seven Eyes, it doesn't seem like it's a closed book. Is that still open to,
it,
you know?
Never was. It was kind of an interesting situation where, like, we always genuinely wanted to, you know, to release more material in some form or another. It's just it kept getting put on the back burner because too many opportunities, you know, became the number one priority. That's basically what happened. So, and, you know, too many of the really functional elements that allowed Seven Horns to be like an active touring band kind of, you know, those, like, we lost, you know, a drummer and then never quite got things together enough to, like, go on tour again.
Yeah.
So other bands kind of took their, you know, the main place of them in my life, and Aaron did a lot more work with his production. You know, he has a whole incredible studio in his home.
Oh, he's killing it now, yeah.
I can't wait to go back to. But, yeah, so, and it was one of those things where every couple months or years, Aaron and I would talk, and he would have some fresh ideas, and we'd get really excited, and then it would kind of get sidelined again. And it's at the point now where we have enough of those just over time, slowly building material that, like, we feel comfortable, like, okay, let's commit to trying to, like, put this to a real, and, you know, let's give this a structure, like, let's make just, you know, forget all the big plans that we used to have,
because
that was a little too lofty for our resources. But what we can do is do a very strong follow-up to Throws, and what we do have is literally that. It's just everything we did on Throws, but now we're much older and wiser about how to put songs together and, you know, what to have more restraint on, what to be a little more adventurous about. So it's just like it sounds like a genuine evolution, you know, or, you know, a genuine maturation, I guess, of exactly what we did on Throws, you know, when it's much more dramatic. And, you know, cinematic is a very good term, I think, because it's a very explicit, you know, film scores are a very open influence on Aaron's songwriting.
Oh, so, it seems like it, yeah.
You know, so, you know, and, you know, writing good songs like this apparently takes 10 years. So, you know, we're closing, like, we have, like, half of the last song we need to put into that puzzle. And then, you know, then I can start working on vocals with Aaron. And then,
nice.
You know, we'll get that done and we'll make it all, you know, it's going to just move along as we can do it. But we do have an actual vision in mind of, like, how we want this to come together, you know. You know, there is an end goal for this, and I don't want to give any specific time frame, we're hoping, you know, based off of what we know we might be able to get done within whatever time frames, we're hoping sometime at this stage, probably next year. But yeah, like, whether to track separately, or I wanted to go over there to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, see you and, like, track it right with them, but may not be the case. But either way, we're closing in on it. And I'm really happy with it in that I enjoy just sitting in my car listening to these songs instrumentally.
Nice.
You know, just by themselves. So, you know, there's a lot of, like, moments that are meant to be moments. You know, Aaron is very keen about writing with emotion in mind. Mm-hmm. So he wants to, like, hook you, you know, not necessarily in, like, the very typical ways of, like, you know, just playing on, like, sadness and melancholy, but also, like, other emotions of, you know, triumph and or, you know, of stress or, you know, what have you. And he's very good at that. And that's, like, this is, like, a great display of that. And that's what makes me excited about it, because it is very antithetical to what I'm doing in Necrothé, which is
brutal.
Like, you know, brutal rock, and it's the most depressing lyrics I can possibly put down about the worst subjects possible, you know, like, and because it's just real life. It's just the disgusting concrete of real life is what Necrophe is. And all of the, like, monsters we react onto it to try and, like, deal with the horror that nothing means anything. And there's nothing hiding in the dark, you know. If there's no monsters, there's no ghosts, and that's scarier than if there are monsters. And that's what Necrophe is, whereas Seven Horns is like, but if we all empathize and put our minds together with science, maybe we can make it better.
Yeah.
You know? So I like that I finally have, you know, I'm down to two bands and they're so different that, like, I don't feel like I need to, like, force any one of them to do something that I can't just get satisfied by doing in the other band, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to make Seven Horns brutal, you know? It's just fine. I love the way Aaron writes, and I want him to do that. And I can take all my pretentious ideas to Necrophe, you know?
And so maybe if you didn't have that brutal outlet, you would try to, like, shape Seven Horns to be brutal. But because you have that, you can go outside of it and do...
Yeah, that was something I realized, like, early when I was much, you know, younger. When I first joined Seven Horns, and there was a, like, I felt like, because I was coming from Monotheist, and, like, I'm hanging out with these death metal people all the time, and we're talking about it, you know, all these elite death metal bands. I'm like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that, like, listening to elite music matters at all, you know? And so I, for whatever reason in my mind, I was like, well, you know, I'm going to join the sick, cool band that signed to Century Media, but I got to try to find a way to stick, like, Disgorge parts in there. and then I, like, actually did the album and, like, listened to it, and I realized, like, okay, you know what? This is fine the way it is. Like, I love what this is instead of what I thought I had to turn it into just so I could still have my metal, death metal cred, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I'm glad I realized that back then because it allowed me to do a variety of things that, you know, got me to the point where now I can do Necrophe and just completely call the shots on what I write about, and we all have equal input on what the songwriting is, and everybody agrees on what we sound like, which,
yeah,
I think is, like, it's such a one in a million thing to be, like, in a band where it's the band sounds like what everyone in the band wanted it to,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's super cool.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
Probably... And... Well, what are you saying?
Oh, no, I was going to say, so, let me say it right. Necrothoy? No, what was it?
It's Necrothe.
Necrothe. Okay, I've been saying it wrong every time,
yeah,
we play it on Metal Shop. Necrothe.
Everyone has. It's fine.
So you were doing the band Monotheist, and you guys released a record on Prosthetic. Then you pivoted,
mm-hmm,
and I believe you left Monotheist or ended things with that band, and then Necrothe, you guys then signed to Prosthetic. Did you kind of have a relationship, mm-hmm, with that label, and was it, like, kind of established that you...
Yeah, it's interesting. It's pretty, you know, straightforward that Steve Joe was working at Century Media. He signed Seven Horns.
Okay.
And over the years, he and I just kept in contact, you know. Steve is just, you know, no one has any bad things to say about the guy anywhere,
yeah,
you know. I was, like, everyone loved the dude. So, you know, just he and I would just stay in touch a little bit over the years. And then eventually he starts working with Prosthetic, and then we get this Monotheist album done. And I basically am thinking about, like, all right, we got this whole thing finished and, like, mastered, and it sounds exactly like we want, and we have no idea how to release it.
Yeah.
So I just, on a whim, sent it to Steve to see if Prosthetic was interested, and then they all were, and then I also pitched Necrothe. And I sent, like, an instrumental demo of Foul Eucharist, and, like, and then he's like, yeah, we want to do both, you know, just because I explained to him my, like, 5-year game plan for the next thing, that I had all these lofty ideas, you know, which we're still sticking to,
yeah.
And then we're still going to be just as lofty, but, you know, yeah, so, and that's basically how that happened. And then, you know, as far as, like, me leaving Monotheist and then the Necrothea announcement, that was pretty coincidental, because, like, when they announced, well, when they formally announced that I left, Necrothea had already announced our signing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, because I just, you know, I got home from the last tour, or from that tour we did with Monotheist, and I just kind of realized, like, this music is so good. Like, Mike writes such good music, but I just don't get excited playing these songs anymore. And I'm, like, super stoked on Necrothea, and I'm like, that's probably indicative of, like, problems that will happen in the future that I do not think I'm going to have the resources to deal with then. So
it makes sense.
I just called it before, you know, I committed anything too much, and I was like, look, I'm going to leave now so you guys have enough time to find someone before whatever else the next thing you do is, you know, and I'll help you if I can.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, basically how that went. It was just like, I just realized that, like, and Monotheist does not deserve anyone half-assing those vocals, because that music is, like, so, there's so much grandeur to the stuff Mike writes. Like, I have nothing but great things to say about him. Like, he's a genius and a prodigy, and you know, and so I don't want to be, like, up there doing it and then just, like, faking it every night. And then, like, and my, what I was mostly afraid of was having to do the next album and having it be similar to, and I don't want to go too much into this, but similar to the Ozzy Withering situation, where I just did not enjoy tracking it at all because I didn't like the music.
Yeah.
Or I didn't want to play the music. I didn't like playing the music.
Sure.
And that's what the newer Monotheist stuff was to me. I was like, this is so cool to listen to, but I don't want to play a song like this live at this point. You know, I want to play brutal, weird, risky, you know, like,
yeah.
I want to crash and burn with music and not be so surgical and, like, you know,
precise,
worrying
yeah.
about how perfect it sounds. So, and, you know, and that just was not Monotheist. Monotheist is, like, a gorgeous, you know, like, masterpiece painting, and then Necrothea is, like, the thing that's just, like, the toilet, you know?
Yeah, I like it. Toilet, I like it.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, totally, man. And, dude, at least you're being, like, it's cool that you were honest with yourself and you know, you just reassess the situation, and now you can focus your time on something that you love, which is cool, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and I want Monotheist to, like, continue to do what they do with, like, people who are stoked on that, you know?
For sure.
And Cooper's great, you know? Cooper's great for that. Like, he's, like, a sick drummer, obviously, but also he's a great vocalist. So
nice.
He's keeping it down and doing a great job. So I'm proud of all of them, you know, touring around. And we're just over here trying to, we got a lot going on behind the curtains over here.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's go a little bit in the past for your, like, music, love of music. And I believe you and I sort of have similar paths in the sense that I got into, you know, metal, punk, all that stuff through, like, Tooth and Nail and, like, Christian pop punk. And from what I understand, you had had kind of your way into music through bands, metal, like Christian metal bands. Is that correct?
Absolutely. This is a very, like, this is a topic that I'm very intimate with, actually. Like,
nice.
I consider, in a way that, like, I'm embracing it more these days, you know, that I just, like, my roots in all this Christian metalcore, these weird bands, you know. That was what introduced me to heavy music, was bands that they were just kids who liked all these bizarre, different styles of metal, and they tried to put it all together somehow. And it's, like, haphazard, and, you know, sometimes they aren't doing a good job at the idea they have in their head. Yeah. But I just like that they did it, you know? Like, Poison the Well, like, some of that singing sucks, but I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I listened to, what is it, Opposite of December, and I'm like, if, like, someone who didn't have the same experience I did listening to this, you know, in the parking lot of my youth group, you know, slamming Rip-It energy drinks, you know, talking about Halo 2 or whatever. Like, you know, if you don't have that experience, then, yeah, you're probably going to think this sounds like that. But, like, I love how when, like, people take, you know, just have an idea that they just have to do, and, like, regardless of if they nail the landing or not, they just do it, you know? So that's why I love that older, like, hardcore math course. But anyway, sorry for that tangent.
Wow. No, it's all good. So what are your what are your top three Christian metal albums of all time?
Okay, I'm going to say this right now. Conspicuously absent will be Zayo, because Zayo has not been a Christian band for, like, quite a while. So, in all the Zayo albums I like, I wouldn't consider Christian metal, so I want to say that those are absent. Anyway, actual Christian metal. I've never really thought about it in list format, but I want to think of the, you know, the one that I might go, ooh, okay. Here's how I'll decide what the best ones are. The biggest impact they had on me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's your list. One. It's not like yeah. We're doing it like scientifically. It's like what made the impact on you, dude?
Okay, so I would say number one, Becoming the Archetype, Terminate Damnation.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Number two. Demon Hunter, Summer of Darkness.
Nice, yeah.
And number three, man, I guess, yeah, it's metalcore, but it's still, like, it's, you know, because these aren't the elite bands, but number three, I would have to say, Norma Jean, Oh God, The Aftermath.
Yeah, dude, Norma Jean's great.
Yeah, those three albums really helped shape my, like, what heavy music, like, sort of embodied to me was in these bands that were, like, kind of weird and mm-hmm. kind of, like, not super, you know, they would just throw any, like, Living Sacrifice. You listen to some of their albums, they have the weirdest, most random on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just, like, they'll have, like, a Melodeath song, and then they'll have, like, a Meshuggah song, and
yeah.
then, like, a radio rock, like,
yep.
like a acoustic thing that sounds like Stained or something.
Yeah,
like, they just don't give me they just throw it on there, and I love that, because, like, that never happens anymore. All the albums these days are so, like, there's all the younger bands are so scared of, like, the older dudes making fun of them or something, I don't know. So, like, we don't have any Into the Motes or Between the Buried and Me's where they're just doing weird out of nowhere regardless of if it makes sense or not, and it kind of bums me out. Like, you know
what, one of my favorite Christian bands they're still one of my favorite metal bands was X-Tool.
Ooh, oh yeah, I wanted to put them in there, but I didn't really appreciate them until I was, like, already kind of into death metal.
Sure.
But they're one in a million by far.
So the thing that's interesting is, I have to mention that, you are, it seems to be very not Christian now. So you've gone from, like, being into very Christian music to now having, like, a tattoo that says, like, death than nothing, I believe.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's edgy, but it looks cool.
Yeah, man. So you just yeah, that's like a 360 there. You've done a little bit of music with Zayo. Tell me about working with the guys from Zayo and meeting them, because I know how much that band means to you. Bring me back to the moment of, like, making that contact and then working with those guys.
Yeah, it was actually completely, you know, like, of all the bands to be this way, Zayo was the one where, like, nobody introduced me, and, like, I had no mutual friends or anything. I just went to see them in Philly the night before they played This Is Hardcore, and I just got along. I just started talking to them about, like, politics and, you know, okay, this sounds pretentious when you say it out loud, but it is what we talked about, philosophy.
Yeah.
Anyway. and we just, you know, really just got along well as, like, people, you know, like, to the point where, like, we barely really even talked about their music that much. So, and then we just kept in contact after that. And then I, you know, and I was just, like, thinking about a lofty idea, like, hey, maybe I could just see if Dan will do this spot on this, you know, song that we're trying to finish for the Necrothay EP. And he was just like, yeah, sure, totally.
And that's awesome.
It happened, and it was like, whoa, and it's over a riff that I came up with, which is not that important in the grand scheme of things, but it's cool for me to think about. But anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then also, there were a couple little things that never saw the light of day. Like, there were one or two little, like, anti-Nazi power violence songs Dan and I did together, and, like, we were trying to get something with us and Scott and another friend of mine, Maya, and maybe, I don't know, one or two other people. I forget exactly what the thing was going on, but, yeah, so there are little bits and, you know, little things that never quite popped up out of light of day, but at the very least, you know, I got Dan from Zayo on my album, and for me,
so
that's
awesome.
Like,
yeah,
the coolest thing. And then I got to do guest vocals with him at RFest, which was surreal and kind of didn't sink in until it was way over. But yeah, I don't know. That's just been a very beautiful scenario of, like, meeting your heroes and not getting disappointed. Very much the opposite.
That's awesome.
They ended up being very just, like, they're all very, like, reasonable, just regular kind of dudes who don't have, you know, some, like, none of them feel the need to, like, get attention in a or dominate a conversation. So
yeah,
it's just very easy to go back and forth, you know, so.
That's cool,
but
man.
Dan will talk your ear off on the phone, I'll say that.
That's cool, man, and that's pretty awesome that you get to collaborate with them. I have to ask, so being a fan of, like, the, like, early 2000s, like, Christian metalcore and whatnot, what's it gonna take to get you to Furnace Fest?
I obviously I want to go anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I already want to go, but, like, out of what they haven't said, like, I've been thinking about, like, the big thing they would have to, like, really, I really want them to do something, like, out of left field. Like, I want, like, Lamb of God.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Ash, or not Ash, but, like, Palaces and American, you know, New American Gospel. Or I want, like, you know, Do the Impossible. Get, like, Extol, or get Botch, you know?
Yeah.
Get Kurt. If they get cursed, I will do illegal things and tell everyone about it to go.
The most anti-Christian band?
I don't know.
The most anti-Christian band playing a Christian festival? I don't know about that, man. But, dude...
Well, Furnace Fest isn't... Well, isn't Furnace Fest just, like throwback?
Yeah. Most of the bands seem to be at least Christian. Anyways, whatever. The Curse would be sick.
Showbread is there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Fucking Showbread. Oh my god. That is amazing to me. what a stage we're in.
Right? So in case you're just tuning in, we're talking with JJ Polacek, and when did you first start doing vocals? What age were you at? Because you have a very burly voice, and I met you at a pretty young age. When did you first start, like, screaming?
There's some ASMR drinking for you. Anyway, I was going to say, I started just, like, I think it was listening to, like, I got in, because it was when I was into, like, Demon Hunter and like that.
Yeah.
And I think what the band that motivated me to, like, actually want to, like, make these, like, the specific kinds of vocals I did, because I kind of wanted to be a singer of some kind of metal, but I didn't know what I wanted to sound like. And then I heard Zayo.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. That is, I heard Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest. My little, I was like 14, 15. I got it from like an FYE like Oklahoma. Well, my dad, my parent, or my whole family besides me was like doing some church performance gig, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like hanging out by, you know, doing my own thing. So I get the Zayo album, I hear that, and it terrifies me, and I'm like, I need to learn how to do this.
Yep.
And then the other album was Opeth, Blackwater Park.
Awesome.
I borrowed it from the most seen kid friend I had, who's the one that I got the Opeth album from.
Nice.
I remember hearing Leper Affinity and like being like amazed at Ackerfeld's vocals, like he specifically like sounded like what I imagined a giant like zombie mammoth like, you know, beast would sound like. For some reason that was the image in my head, and it fascinated me, and I listened to that album over and over, and I was like, how does he do that? How can I do that? But I had to take baby steps. So I started with like Living Sacrifice and like these more mid-range bands and, you know, the easier stuff. And then I started listening to like the Red Core, and I was like,
nice.
All right, this is a lot of fun to listen to, so I want to play this. So I started, like, Clients was the album that it came out 2005, and I was in the decibel top 10, so I bought it. And, and so it was, you know, that was, like, getting me towards the more death metal-y kind of stuff. And then, but Ackerfeld was just, like, by far the biggest influence, I have to say. Like, and I think you can kind of hear it to a way that I try not to bring too much attention to, but I just did. But anyway, and then, like, I didn't like guttural stuff at first, because the first guttural band I heard was Wormed. Planetarium came out in, like, 2004, and I heard it in, like, 2006 or something. And I didn't like it. And then, I think it was Disgorge who convinced me that, like, okay, I need to figure out how to do this, because I heard Cranial Impalement, and it just starts with that long guttural. And I was like, that's different. That's not, okay, this is not what I was making fun of. Yeah. This is something that I need to know how to do.
Yeah.
Like, so then I got into more like Condemned and Cephalotripsy and like that, then, you know, big obvious influences on my voice that, you know, like Angel and, you know, AJ, Magana, Magana, I don't know how, I'm going to say AJ Magana.
Matty Way, probably.
Seated Sanity. Matty Way, definitely, yeah. Well, yeah, Disgorge. You know, like, these, like, just people I still consider legends. And Fledge from Worms, like, now I love his vocals, and I'm like, they're a huge influence on me trying to, like, make sure I am very dynamic in my gutturals, and, like, there's, like, some kind of thing, you know, underneath besides just the mechanical rhythm. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a bummer that, you know, there's a totally different approach to vocals nowadays, where it's a lot more about, like, technique or, like, technicality than it is personality, but whatever. I mean, you know, there's still good bands doing a lot of good work, you know. There's been Flesh, who's killing it, so.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, JJ, but I do want to ask about, so you are someone who's very outspoken politically and someone who has, who's very, like, I will say, like, very left of left, and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but how do you kind of, so for me personally, I kind of look at bands like with very like anti-woman and very heinous kind of lyrics like that as like a horror film. I don't really take it too seriously, but a lot of these bands that you describe like have very, you know, kind of misogynistic anti-woman lyrics. How do you kind of put those two together? Like on one side, your political thing is very this side, and then those lyrics are the other side. How do you make sense of that?
Well, I mean, I'll say that for what it's worth, the bands that I do like don't write about those kinds of things anymore.
Word.
You know, like Cephalotripsy and Condemned and, you know, Disgorge, like, they just write about, like, aliens now, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, and, I mean, there's, I don't know, like, it's, the lyrics aren't, I don't know any of the lyrics. I can't understand them. I don't know the song titles. I don't, like, that's not a thing I value in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, like I said, these days, what I genuinely am listening to more of is the stuff that doesn't have the lyrics, even when you do look into it. Like, if I listen to Cephalotripsy, it's going to be their promo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and even, like, the... I think, you know, even bands that are still gory just kind of moved away, like Epicardiectomy moved away from that, I believe. And, you know, like, a lot of bands just, like, you know, ditch it just because they got older. So, and I try to be wary of that, and I do... admit that a part of me is just desensitized to it because of, you know, the era I came up in.
Dude,
like,
one of my favorite... I mean...
Surrounded us,
The Bleeding by Cannibal Corpse is, like, my favorite Cannibal Corpse record, so I in no way am saying this is, like, a gotcha question. I was just curious.
I know. That's the thing, is, like, I also... It's not, like... I don't, like... It's one of those things where I'm like, well, if it really bothers someone, like, okay, then I'll, you know, like, I try to speak out against it anyway. So, if you, like, okay, if someone gives me a good reason to, like, you know, never hear those riffs and enjoy them again, okay, but, like, I'll go along with a good reason to do that, but, like, you know, I'm trying to keep it reasonable and not performative, because, like, I feel like if I made a whole deal about that, it would just really be insincere, because, like, all the bands who made that a thing are not doing it anymore, and, like, they're fine with not doing it anymore.
Like,
they don't,
like,
they're
Devourment.
Not complaining about being sent. Yeah, Devourment. I'm pretty, you know, I'm friends with Brad, and, like, he and I have talked about that specifically, how, like, yeah, just, like, there's no reason, like, even just for shock value, it's just, like, why do that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so... Like, people get it now, and I think the people trying to perpetuate the aesthetics of misogyny and slam are the younger kids who think that they're carrying some sort of torch, but they're not, because people don't realize the lyrics were always incidental. They were always kind of just there to, like, fit the vibe of the music, and it was also done by very young men, you know,
for sure.
Who, like, hadn't quite gone through life and, like, realized, like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm, you know, so that's not, like, something, like, you know, so I acknowledge the beauty of those compositions audibly, you know, but, like, I don't know what the lyrics are, and like, if I, you know, hey, if someone has a genuine issue and wants to, like, tell me, hey, dude, just don't talk about that stuff because it bothers me, then I'll be like, okay, I mean, yeah, all right, you know, I'll hear it out. And but as far as, like, reconciling that, like, I don't know, I would feel a little more invested in that if, like, the bands I actually listen to were still a part of that, but they're really not, because it's all the, like, not first generation, but it's, like, my generation ish of these slam bands, and they're all, like, dudes in their, like, 30s now, and they've got kids, so like they just write about the government or aliens or just gore, you know.
Weed,
like, it's all just very, yeah. I mean, or like fractal universe, whatever, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, like, Vomitus was actually one of the first bands to make a whole statement about how, like, yeah, we're done with the gore stuff. We're just going to write about how capitalism f***s everybody. Hey. I don't know if they meant it that way, but they did say that without meaning it. but, yeah, you know, because it's like, we're just going to talk about how the, like, government f***s everybody, you know, that stuff. So, and that's, those are the bands that I, when I do put on brutal f***, it's like, you know, it's a defeated sanity where, like, all, you, if you actually look at the lyrics,
band,
like, there's clearly a philosophical idea going on here. Like, it's similar to something like, you know, an artsy-fartsy horror movie, you know, where it's, like, trying to get across a genuine theme. Like, there is a point to it, you know.
For sure.
And that I appreciate a lot. I mean, but who can say enough good things about Defeated Sanity?
You know? I know. I'm actually looking at a Defeated Sanity t-shirt in my collection right now, just when you were saying that. So,
ooh.
Yeah, dude. Let's wrap up the interview, JJ. Let's get to one of your songs, man. What song do you want to play off of your Necrothay record?
Ooh, is there any worry about time limit?
No, man. Let's throw on whatever song you want to do.
I would say, if you want to, let's do Ancient of Days. Let's just, you know, let's throw everyone into the deep end.
All right, dude. We're going to do Ancient of Days. JJ, do you have anything you want to say to the Northwest audience before we let you go and go back into your cave of isolation?
I just, you know, thank you for your time and your attention, and you know, I hope everyone sort of takes this time to realize that, like, hey, the actual personal relationships we have with each other are the point of all of this, and not, like, dominating each other and trying to win. Like,
yeah,
let's try, like, let's use this time to, like, really understand that that is not even in our control. That's the best thing we could do, is try to understand and work together. So
that's great. Thank
that's,
you.
You know, that's what I'm taking out of all this, is that it's proof of that. So, and hey, if we do work together, things will get much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope everybody's feeling cozy at the very least.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I guess I'll plug our stuff. Yeah, our album Dead Gods is on Prosthetic and streaming everywhere on everything. All the hits, all the basics, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we were going to be on tour, but now we're not, so.
We'll see you sometime soon.
All right. Okay.
All right,
thank
JJ.
You for your time again.
Yeah, take it easy,
take
bro.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.
and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.